The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
These are the sounds of crushed souls. The sounds of despair from former radio personalities languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the internet, but their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to reestablishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio. And you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
Howdy, folks. Mangy Fetlocks here with a song about James Comer and Jim Jordan. Kind of matching idiots. When your source of information is a Russian spy, it makes you look like you are quite likely a stupid guy. When the evidence you cite has got a Russian origin, it is clear you've got low standards in the ties your fortune. When the case that you've constructed starts to fall apart, cause your whistleblower's pictured on most wanted charts, seems the time has come for you to just throw in the towel, unless before the libel laws you plan to run afoul. Jordan and Comer, you have not hit a homer. Seems you've hit a ground ball blooper when you thought your case was super. Comer and Jordan, it's quite clear that according to the rules of evidence, your whole case was all pretense. When your evidence is coming from a Russian spook, you end up with nothing but a well-deserved rebuke. It seems obvious that you were rubes who just got played, forced to sheepishly retract the case that you had made. But it's not like we believe that you were smart before, when each of you behaved like you were Donald's little whore. So it's time you slither back beneath a nearby stone. Your investigation down the toilet has been thrown. 2, 3, 4... Jordan and Comer, this one is not a homer. Seems you hit a ground ball blooper when you thought your case was super. Comer and Jordan, it's quite clear that according to the rules of evidence, your whole case was all pretense.
That it?
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Mangy Fetlocks, everybody. That would be Bruce W. Nelson, also known as Mangy Fetlocks, with a song, once again, that's timely and topical. So that one going out to Comey and Jordan, the two Jims who, look, the rest of the world is catching up with us because we talked about that story that's about Mr. Smirnov, who was the Republicans' big smoking gun in the Joe Biden impeachment inquiry. And last Friday, when Marcy Wheeler was here, we told you that Smirnov had been indicted, that everything he said, his whole line, he being the chief witness for the Republicans, alleging that Joe Biden took bribes, it was all
bullshit.
What was that again?
Bullshit.
Yeah, say it again.
Bullshit.
Say it with me. It was bullshit. He was indicted. He's in jail now in, I guess, protective custody because he made the whole thing up. And what is so classic about all this, it goes back to my theory of opposite world. It's exactly what the maggots were telling you, that this guy Smirnov, he lied about everything, but they say that, we're the liars. No, it is...
Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Opposite World.
You see, it's easier to explain my theory of opposite world by example than telling you. Because it just, none of it makes any sense. I hope you got to hear the interview yesterday with Rachel Bitticoffer. I really love her because she tells it like it is. She minces no words. She doesn't use flowery language to say, you know, a turd is a turd is a turd. And that's her advice, is call them out for who they are and tout the victories. So, you know, one of the things that I don't know about you, but I certainly haven't heard enough about is, you know, how much Joe Biden has done to help millions and millions of Americans who are suffering with student loan debt. Now, I'm one of the lucky few. My parents put me through college. I didn't have to take out a loan. And even if I did, I'm old. So when I graduated from the University of South Florida in 1981, you know, in-state tuition, I graduated from a Florida high school. I had my choice back then of any of the Florida state schools, because back then, if you graduated from a Florida high school, you automatically were accepted into any of the Florida state universities. Well, that's not the case today. Well, it might be different today than it was a few years ago, because those schools aren't as in high demand now in the DeSantis era as they were before. So I know that as of at least a few years ago, you needed ridiculous, a GPA of like 4.8. Now, sorry, when I graduated, 4.0 was as high as it went. There were no AP courses. You couldn't get higher than a 4.0. But now, because of all the AP and special courses they offer, there are kids, you know, with a 5.0 GPA. I don't think that's possible. So anyway, back then, I pulled up a chart one day. I don't know where it is now. I'm sure I could find it again if I needed to. But it shows the Florida in-state tuition for the Florida university system, going back to the olden days when I was in college. And it was something like $25 a credit or thereabouts. So, you know, it was affordable. It was a few hundred dollars a semester. That was it. Well, add a zero onto that now, and it's kind of where it is. And graduating from a Florida high school doesn't guarantee you anything. And again, now they're having problems. I know DeSantis is putting out the call to retired teachers to come home and teach in the state. I guess his plan to hire veterans and cops who were kicked off their police forces in other states as teachers in Florida didn't work out too well. Serious. That was a serious plan he had. Or, returning military because they're qualified to teach your kids. They might be on an individual basis, but, you know, anyway, DeSantis has a lot of problems. Being able to hold on to teachers, both in the school system in Florida or on the university system in the state, is getting more and more difficult because of his policies like, you know, don't say gay, or, destroying the New College, which was a place for the outcasts among us, for LGBTQ and Q and trans kids to go. He's turned it into a Hillsdale College Junior, a Christian university, part of the state university system. So I'm going into a long diatribe when it's not necessary. basically just trying to say that, the Republicans, while they keep going further and further down into the morass that is what's left of their party, what I'm taking from Rachel Bitticoffer yesterday is we need to tout the victories. We need to brag about all the things Joe Biden has gotten done. And you probably didn't hear it, but here's his latest. And if you're one of those people, and this is where I was going when I went off on a tangent, who was saddled with student debt, Joe Biden, he was stopped in Congress by Republicans from getting relief done. But he has been doing, kind of quietly, on his own, what he is able to do on his own. And this is the latest.
So, under my SAVE plan, we're cutting in half to 5% the undergraduate borrowers have to pay after their living expenses are accounted for. That means no one with an undergraduate loan, whether it's a community college or a four-year college, will have to pay more than 5% of their discretionary income to repay those loans starting in July. And that's income after you pay for necessities like food and housing.
Good.
Already 7.5 million Americans have enrolled in this so-called SAVE plan. And there's more than 4 million of those borrowers had their monthly payments dropped to zero if they're living paycheck to paycheck below a certain level. This plan is the most generous repayment program ever, and today we're doing it even faster and quicker than ever before. I'm proud to announce our SAVE plan. We are immediately canceling the debt loans for over 150,000 borrowers.
Yeah.
Nearly 6 months ahead of schedule. Starting today, we're canceling student debt for borrowers who are enrolled in the SAVE plan and have been paying student loans for as little as 10 years. If they took less than, if they borrowed less than $2,000, it's forgiven.
Okay.
$12,000, excuse me. The loan is forgiven.
Yeah,
this action will be a huge help to graduates of community college and borrowers of smaller loans.
Okay, so that's just a little tidbit from his speech today, announcing more student loan relief. Donald Trump, I'm sorry, I hate saying his name, and I don't play his clips often anymore because, believe me, it's fingernails on a blackboard to me as well. But, you know, he, the former guy, likes to pat himself on the back, usually when he doesn't deserve it, because frankly, I can't think of a time when he did deserve it, but he takes credit for everything. Joe Biden, you know, I guess he tries to do it, but that's a difficult thing to do, to toot your own horn. So it's up to us to do it. So yesterday, you know, when Rachel Bitticoffer was here, I've still got all my stickies on different pages of her book because there's so much information in here. But one thing I suggested is that we all carry around a little card with the accomplishments, with what the Democrats have accomplished to show the difference. So like when someone says, oh, you know, they're the same, it's the same thing, it doesn't matter, you can say
bullshit
and read to them a few things. Like here's her list. One, the rise of organized labor, allowing unionized workers to collectively bargain for fair pay benefits and safe working conditions. That was the Democrats. And by the way, an aside here, Teamsters, what the fuck? So a news item crosses my feed yesterday after the show ended, or I would have brought it up then, that the Teamsters have donated $45,000? I guess it's not that much, but whatever. It was like 45, it wasn't 45 million, so it must have been 45,000. I don't know. But donated a lot of money to the Republican Party. It's like, what? Wait a minute. The Teamsters, the leader of that party, or what's left of it, during the United Auto Workers strike, went to a non-union shop and railed against the union workers. Joe Biden actually marched on a picket line, held a sign, and marched with the striking auto workers. But the Teamsters donated, I got to pull up the amount because now it's going to bug me until I get it right. Teamsters donation to GOP. Yep, I was right. $45,000 to the RNC. Here's the, as part of what union officials say is a push to ensure that elected officials in both political parties hear from rank and file workers at this year's presidential nominating conventions. So they gave 45. Well, okay, so this story. Okay, what I saw yesterday said they gave 45,000 to Republicans and 30,000 to the Democrats. But now I'm seeing that they gave the same amount to both sides. All right. Well, first of all, in the scheme of our political dollars these days, $45,000 is nothing. Now, I'd be thrilled if they want to give it to me, but the cost of a political ad anywhere is more than $45,000. Anyway, you know, what I read yesterday said 45,000 to the Republicans, 30 to the Dems, and I blew a gasket. So now I'm seeing at least CNN is reporting that they're given the same money to both parties. All right, so I digress. All right, back to Rachel's list, or as Roseanne would say, never mind. All right, the New Deal. We're doing the things that Democrats accomplished, things that we should be screaming from the rafters. The New Deal, which made unprecedented investments in physical infrastructure across the nation, brought electricity to rural America, allowed middle-class families to finance home ownership through the Fannie Mae, and implemented agricultural reforms that ended the Dust Bowl. Need another one? Social Security, 1935. The Fair Labor Standards Act, which established the federal minimum wage, the 40-hour work week, and overtime pay, and put limits on child labor that Republicans are now trying to do away with. The list goes on and on. You know what? I will, maybe over the weekend, I will repurpose this. Rachel said we could. And I'll put it into like a downloadable file that I'll post. And so you can have this with you. The Clean Air Act of 1963, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, Medicare in 1965. I could go on and on. And one thing that these all, or another thing that all these accomplishments have in common, other than they were put through by Democrats, is that Republicans are trying to take them away from you. From you and me. From all of us. These are the things we need to say and repeat and say often. Okay, so I will make the graphic. I'll make a downloadable little thing that you can print out, carry it around with you. And when someone says, I don't vote, both those parties are the same, you can say
bullshit
and offer them proof. You know, you want proof? Look at what happened in Alabama. So in Alabama, and we mentioned this briefly yesterday, and it's just stunning, astoundingly stunning. The Alabama Supreme Court, they ruled that frozen embryos are people. They're not embryos, they're children, they say. Here's an exchange. When NBC News' Ali Vitale is questioning Nikki Haley on this Alabama court decision saying that frozen embryos are, quote, children. So Ali Vitale is talking to Nikki Haley and asking what she thinks about that.
The Supreme Court there said that embryos created through IVF are considered children and are offered those same protections. Do you agree?
I think embryos to me are babies.
Those created through IVF.
I mean, I had.
Embryos are babies. That's the exact phrase. Those words were uttered verbatim by Nikki Haley. Embryos are babies.
Artificial insemination. Yeah. That's how I had my son. So when you look at, you know, one thing is to have to save sperm or to save eggs. But when you talk about an embryo, you are talking about, to me, that's a life. And so I do see where that's coming from when they talk about that.
Really?
Do you have concerns about the ways that that could hurt people who are seeking IVF treatment?
I think that we have to have those conversations. That's incredibly personal. It's incredibly sensitive.
All right, that's
the conversation.
All right, shut up, Nikki. You heard what she said there, right? She said embryos are babies. Perfect. It's perfectly, I mean, it's not perfect what she said, but she said it perfectly. We know what she meant, but apparently there was a little bit of kickback, a little bit of pushback on old Nikki over this. So that was in the morning, right? Yesterday, she says this to NBC News' Ali Vitale. That evening, I guess this was last night, I'm a little time zone challenged here. She's on this show on CNN with Gayle King and Charles Barkley. It's called King Charles. I made the mistake of watching it for about 5 minutes a week or two ago, and it was bad. It was bad. But thankfully, somebody posts clips online. And so Nikki Haley was on with them last night. And this happened.
You're making news again today. You make news every day, Governor Haley, but today you're making news because you agreed with the Alabama Supreme Court that ruled that embryos are people. And today you said, yes, you believe they're people too. I think that troubled many people, especially women who are going through IVF treatments. We're hearing reports already about fertility clinics that are shutting down because they're worried. What do you say to women that are now concerned about that? And your position in that particular issue.
What do you say?
Well, first of all, I agreed with the Alabama ruling.
Wait, what? She didn't say that she agreed with the Alabama ruling? Hold on a second. Sorry, you're going to see the behind the scenes stuff here. Yeah, she did. Let's hear it again.
The Supreme Court there said that embryos created through IVF are considered children and are offered those same protections. Do you agree?
I think embryos to me are babies.
Okay, so you heard that, right? She said embryos to me are babies. Let's go back to her denying she said what she just said.
What the question that I was asked is, do I believe an embryo is a baby?
No.
I do think that if you look in the definition, an embryo is considered an unborn baby. And so, yes, I believe from my stance that that is.
The difference is, this
is what I say about abortion as well.
Yeah.
We need to treat these issues with the utmost respect.
Okay, now she just goes into word salad. She doesn't say anything more. She denied she said what she said, but she said it. You know, videotape is a wonderful thing. It lives on forever, much like the internet. Yeah, much like, okay, so I got to go back to this thing because, you know, sometimes these people, they just speak without, I mean, they know what they're saying, right? But when the former guy says something like this.
We're going to federalize, we're going to have very powerful crime, and you're going to be proud of it again.
We're going to federalize, we're going to have very powerful crime, and you're going to be proud of it again. What? So, you know, in the past few minutes, we heard President Joe Biden sounding really presidential, talking about how he was cutting student loan debt to millions of Americans who are buried under these payments. Sounded very lucid, exactly said what he had to say, announced good policy. By the way, I've not heard much about it in the media today. So Trump said that, oh, I've got one other one. Oh shit. I think I only have it on video. Hold on. Cause this one's even more head scratching.
How will you put up that kind of money? Because you have a bond to put up. Even if you appeal, you got to put up escrow money. That's,
oh, well,
it's a lot
it
of,
is
lot
a
of
form of Navalny.
It is a form of Navalny. Wait, say that again. What? It is a what?
Form of Navalny.
How will you put
it is a form of Navalny? What does that even mean? Navalny was murdered by his government, a power that you want. Putin had his chief political rival killed. And Donald Trump's lawyers suggested to the D.C. Court of Appeals, we all heard it, that they believe that he, as a former occupant of the White House, has absolute immunity. So he could order, as president, SEAL Team 6 to go out and assassinate his chief political rival, and nothing should be done to him because he occupied the White House. That's what he said. And now he's saying being fined. And from what the experts say, it was a reasonable fine on all fronts for the crimes he's committed. That's a form of Navalny. First of all, Navalny was a person who was killed by a dictator. How is levying a fine against him for his crimes in any way, shape, or form part of that? And how dare you take a man's name, a man who's just been killed, and use it as a, I don't even know, an adverb? I don't even know the form of speech that it would be. That's a form of Navalny? What the hell does that even mean? None of it makes any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. All right, one last thing that also makes no sense. I do have a bunch of... we were talking earlier about how the news is finally catching up to the story that we had with Marcy Wheeler last week. And by the way, she'll be back tomorrow, loaded for bear, because, you know, the rest of the country, the rest of the news media, such as it is, finally is standing up and taking notice that, you know, the Republicans' chief witness is full of shit, made it all up. But I think my favorite video clip of all that I pulled today, and I've got it right here, I've got to play it before Howie comes on, is from everybody's least favorite senator. When, you know, look, and we're going to talk with Howie Klein in a moment about this, the race for Dianne Feinstein's Senate seat in California, and somebody who's gaining traction, who's now number two in the polls behind Adam Schiff, is, oh God, what's his name? I'm drawing a blank on his name now. A baseball player. Not Tom Seaver. Come on. Steve Garvey. Steve Garvey. Really? What are his qualifications? The same as Tommy Tuberville's. An athlete does not make you qualified to be in the U.S. Senate. So Tommy Tuberville, who finally lifted his hold on military promotions because he doesn't think a woman should have control over her own body, is now, he's pushing that right wing bullshit about, you know, Joe Biden is old and infirm. And so I'm going to play a video. Now, those of you listening to an audio stream, say on the Progressive Voices Network or airprogressive.org or Netroots Radio or one of the other online stations who carries the show, the second part of it is Tommy Tuberville's video of him just the other day exiting an airplane. There wasn't a walkway brought up. It was a ladder, you know, a thing. So you descend from the airplane onto the tarmac by going down steps. Well, Tommy Tuberville went down the steps on his ass. Yes, he fell and slid down the stairs. But before you hear the video, you're going to hear him basically smearing Joe Biden because he's old and tripped once.
Probably would make it, but to see his decline over the last few months, I don't think he'll make it. Just watched him yesterday walking on a tarmac in L.A.
Really?
With Nancy Pelosi shuffling his feet, looking at the ground.
He shuffled his feet and looked at the ground.
We got to have some leadership in this country.
And here he is. Oh, Tuberville, fall down and go boom. What was that you said again, Tommy?
Probably would make it, but to see his decline over the last few months, I don't think he'll make it. Just watched him yesterday walking on a tarmac in L.A. with Nancy Pelosi shuffling his feet, looking at the ground.
We got to have
some leadership in this country.
And boom! Down goes the tubillard. And I used to think it was Tuberville, too, but I guess it's Tuberville, but I guess it's pronounced Tuberville. All I know is he has no business being in the Senate, and really, Steve Garvey shouldn't be either. But we'll talk to Howie about that. In fact, whose turn is it to mix up those dirty Debbies today? Because I'll take a triple, please.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Mm. Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
And hello, Nicole Sandler.
Happy birthday. I missed your birthday. Belated happy birthday.
Yes, it was a couple days. It was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday. So today's I'm 2 days late. That's what at our age, and notice I'm putting me in with you. At our age, we get a whole week, if not a whole month, to celebrate. So I'm not late at all.
Well, I was late for something else. My driver's license renewal.
Oh, no.
So I spent the morning at the DMV, which was very unpleasant. And I passed the eye test.
Uh-huh.
And what I should have done is taken the book home, you know, that booklet about driving rules that they test you on.
Yeah.
I should have taken it home and then gone back to the DMV. Uh-oh. But I just spent like 2 hours online, and I thought to myself, you know what? I'll probably remember all this stuff, and I did remember most of it, but I missed three questions, and that's it.
No.
So I have to study the book and then go back again. Anyway, a nightmare.
Now, if you had just renewed it in time, would you have had to take the test?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Did they do that at a certain age? Because I don't remember having to go through all that again.
At a certain age.
Oh, and you're a certain age. Well.
Yeah. Certain okay. age, but I mean, I suspect that maybe next time it's not going to be just the knowledge test and the eye test. I suspect it's going to be a driving test as well.
Well, you know, nothing against you, but look, I lived in Florida and now I live in Arizona, where there are a lot of old people, and you know, there's a difference between. Look, I'm 64. I see some people who are 64, and I think, oh, my God, that woman is old. You know, they're old.
I look at people who are 64, and I think, oh, wow, kid.
Right. But it depends on the person. You know, all 64-year-olds are not don't appear the same age, just like all 80-year-olds don't appear the same age. We're going into the age thing. But anyways, for some people, I think it's a necessary thing. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. So did you at least have a fun birthday celebration?
I don't know if you know my friend David or not, the political consultant.
Sure,
maybe
I do.
We had him on
yep.
at some point.
I've
over
met
the years.
Him. I had dinner with him out in LA one time with you.
Oh, there you go. Anyway, so his birthday and my birthday are 2 days apart.
Ah.
So we went, well, I mean, so he said, okay, let's go out to dinner right in between. I said, great, let's do it. But you'll never show up because he tends to not show up at our dinner appointments, like the last 10 of them. So he said, okay, this is what I'll do, a contract. If I don't show up, I will donate $2,500 to Blue America.
Ooh.
I said, great. So, so we're $2,500 richer at Blue America now, which is nice. So that money
up?
Will go right into candidates who are running against Trumpists. But in any case, a couple of days later, we did have dinner, and it was fantastic.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Roland, on the other hand, doesn't like to admit that birthdays exist and refuses to acknowledge that they are. Not only his, but also mine and everyone else.
Oh, what a killjoy. That's not cool.
That's how he looks at it. You know, he's... I think he's very, very obsessed with youth. I'm not supposed to say this, but I'm sure he's not listening. He's about to turn 51, And he could pass for like someone in their 30s.
Uh-huh.
Spends a lot of time on, you know, looking good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't want to talk about birthdays.
I hear you. Look, you just got to embrace it at some point.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Look, I've survived all these years. We've accomplished a lot. Now you can revel in it and celebrate that we're still standing.
I sang 76 trombones all day.
As you should. I sang Will You Still, when I'm 64 on my birthday. So,
You have something to look forward to that's fantastic coming
Medicare.
Your way.
Medicare! If I yes. can survive. So here's the deal. What I've learned is when you're 64, they don't want you to get to 65. I have, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, I think the one thing that I can really thank Obama for, I've been able to have health insurance these last 10 or 12 years, because I couldn't before that because I was a cancer survivor and I worked for myself. And to buy insurance on the open market before the Affordable Care Act passed was virtually impossible. And if you could get it, it was exorbitantly and prohibitively expensive. So when Obamacare came through and subsidies were available for people who don't make a lot of money, I've been able to have insurance. And it's always, for the last 10 years or so, it's gone up a little bit each year. But this year, when I hit 64, oh my God, it exploded. And it doesn't matter if I got the cheapest bronze plan on the exchange or the most expensive gold plan on the exchange. If I am hospitalized this year, my copay will be 40 to 50% after deductible. And the deductibles are in the $5,000 to $9,000 range.
Jesus. Wow, I had no idea it was that bad.
It's insane.
Tell you something though, that everyone needs to know, not just you, everyone who's listening.
Yeah.
That hospitals charge a very, very, very high rate, knowing they're not going to get that money back from the government.
Right.
So let's say they tell the government, okay, it's $10,000. Then the government says, Medicare says, no, it's not $10,000, it's $4,000.
Right.
And the hospital says, fine, and then they take the $6,000 as a tax deduction.
Okay.
However, if you, as a non-Medicare person, mm-hmm. go to hospital and you say, hey, look, I need some help here. I know that, you have to have this price for Medicare, but let's talk about a deal. They'll do it.
Will they? I thought they'll only do it if you're uninsured.
They'll all do it. Certainly Rick Scott's old hospital wouldn't do it, but like any kind of normal type of hospital would do it.
Right. Well, and I thought it was if you are uninsured, they'll work out a deal with you. But if you have insurance, they won't. And maybe it's changed now because things have gotten so out of whack. I don't know. All I know is I need to wrap myself in bubble wrap until November because I can't get sick. I'll tell you one other thing that really sucks with these plans. The copay for an MRI or a CT scan on the policy that I have now, $2,500.
Wow. I'm going to get one tomorrow.
Right.
You know what it costs?
Zero.
You got it.
Because you have Medicare.
That's what you have to look forward to.
I know.
Till November.
Right. So November, I'm not allowed to get sick, and I'm being very, very careful. Because a lot can happen in 9 months. You could have a baby in 9 months.
For example.
Yeah, but I can't, but someone could. But it's the financial risks of me getting sick at the age of 64, I've never seen anything like it. And I looked at every policy available to me, and the copays and the deductibles are exorbitant.
So, wow.
Yeah. So no getting sick for me.
Why did that happen?
Because I'm 64.
Why did the law like screw up like that?
I don't know. Well, there's a lot of problems with the Affordable Care Act. I mean, the fact that insurance is available for people like me to be able to buy on the open market and subsidies are available to make it somewhat affordable. Great. But when the deductibles and the copays are so high, look, I'm supposed to get a CT scan every year. of my lungs and an MRI of my brain because they discovered when I was diagnosed with lung cancer that I have a meningioma, which is like a little brain tumor at the back of my brain, my skull. And so because lung cancer likes to spread to the brain, they keep tabs on that. And I'm supposed to get an MRI every couple of years. I won't be doing either of those this year.
December.
In December, I will, once I get on Medicare. But anyway, I digress. It's disgusting. And meanwhile, you got Republicans. You got the Supreme Court of Alabama saying that a frozen embryo is a child. Not just human. It's a child. I saw some pictures of some frozen embryos today. They're really ugly kids.
As it turns out, though, I think in defense of the court, they're saying we don't believe this stuff, but it's what they passed in the legislature, and we can't fix it. They have to fix it. So I don't know if I agree with them that they can't fix it. I think they could have,
right.
But the legislature is going to now, supposedly going to.
I gotcha. So, Howie, you have a great piece at downwithtyranny.com, among others. It's the one I'm talking about you posted this morning, selecting major party candidates dysfunctionally in Michigan, California, and New Jersey. But I want to hone in on what's happening in California, because you guys, people are voting now in the primary.
Yes, I voted yesterday.
Okay, and you have a Senate primary, obviously, to fill Dianne Feinstein's seat.
Well, we have two, actually. We have the short one that just till the end of till January.
Okay.
And then we have the long one for 6 years. And not everybody who's running for one is running for the other, although the main candidates are. Huh. I mean, for example, for me, I voted for Barbara Lee for the long 6-year term and Barbara Lee for the short term till January.
Okay. Now, the other two big contenders that we've talked about, Adam Schiff, who, of course, is currently your congressman, and Katie Porter. Adam Schiff is in the lead. Katie Porter is looking like she's falling off the map now because Steve Garvey all of a sudden is coming from behind. What?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, when you think of it like this, a jungle primary, so everybody runs together regardless of party.
Yep.
And so all you need is 22%, which is, I think, what Steve Garvey is at to come in second, because there are so many candidates. So it's really a fight between him and Katie Porter. They're both, one poll shows her ahead, the other poll shows him ahead. I mean, Adam Schiff is way ahead. So it's really a question of who is going to be taking on Adam Schiff in November. And, Katie Porter would like it to be her. She can make the point that Adam is not as progressive as she is.
Okay.
And whereas Garvey would represent the Republicans and he'd have no chance to win. So Schiff would really like Garvey to be the one to get into second place, because then he could sleepwalk right into the Senate.
Gotcha. So Schiff, you write, has been running these negative, I'm doing air quotes, ads against Steve Garvey, touting him as, the second coming of the orange guy, basically saying he's so evil. To get the Republicans to come out and vote for him?
Yes, and Katie is trying to combat that by pushing the other Republican, this guy named Early, who's one of my neighbors, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow.
She's pushing him so that people, in the same way, saying, this guy is MAGA, Trump guy, and hoping that enough Republicans vote for him and not for Garvey.
Huh.
So they're both doing a little dirty trick like that. Like I said, if we wind up with Katie or Barbara Lee, let's hope, or even Adam in the Senate, it's going to be a giant upgrade from Dianne Feinstein.
Oh, without a
and
doubt.
And they're all pretty good. I mean, they all have certain strengths. I was a little upset that I noticed that DMFA, which is, is as bad as the NRA,
right,
in terms of being, like a super PAC, really evil.
Yes.
That they just started putting money into Adam Schiff's campaign,
which makes me sick. Is that the same PAC that was aligned with Hakeem Jeffries?
And they're no longer aligned with him, but yes.
Okay, got it. So, yes. All right, well, and so they're backing Adam Schiff, who's looking like he's got a a good lead. So,
yeah, Adam is definitely going to be coming number one. I mean, unless something really, really big changes, but it's not going to. He has that. Oh, he has incredible name recognition that was a Pelosi. She, you know, this was the plan right from the beginning. She made him the head of the Intelligence Committee. She let him lead the first Bush impeachment.
First
so he got this, you know, big name recognition throughout the state. Everyone knows him. Whereas, you know, people who are politically attuned know Katie and they know Barbara Lee.
Right.
People who are into baseball in the 60s and whenever he played baseball know Steve Garvey.
Right.
But, you know, but Adam is the best known by far. So, and that's, you know, as sad as it is, that's how people decide who to vote for. Oh, yeah, I recognize his name.
Right. It is. Rachel Bitticoffer was on the show yesterday, and that's one of the things
she
talked
about.
She's awesome. Her new book is so good. You need to read it. It's real. I got through it in a day and a half. I mean, it's really good, and she's great. But she does talk about that name recognition is a huge advantage. So it's looking.
It is the advantage.
Yes.
Very, very few people take on, you know, the idea of what policies are. They just don't know what they are. They don't know what they mean. It's too complicated. So it's very, very few people who do that, who pick candidates based on policy, unfortunately. But yeah, Rachel's got her head screwed on straight when it comes to this kind of stuff. She knows more about it than most people.
Yeah, no, she's really good. So, okay, so that's the Senate race, the primary. When is Election Day? I know you voted yesterday, so mail-in voting is happening. Early voting is happening. When is the primary?
Like March 5th, I think is the date.
Okay, so it's coming up in a few weeks. Got it. Okay, so that's the Senate race. Now, Adam Schiff vacated, had to not run for re-election for his congressional seat, that's your district, to run
which
for
is
Senate.
Like a D plus, you know, 300. I mean, anyone who wins the Democratic nomination is going to the Congress.
Right. And now there's a lot of people vying for that seat, right?
15.
Okay, so a few months back, you brought on the candidate who I believe you voted for, maybe a girl.
Yes.
And she's great, and we all loved her when she was on the show, but you say now she's being ghosted by everybody?
Well, I mean, certainly not by Blue America.
Right.
The thing is this. She's a transsexual, and people do not... It's like, even if you're a liberal, a lot of people who are liberals, that's too far for them. They can't go there. Not usually women are okay with it, but male liberals, it's just like they freeze up and they can't handle it. So even like DSA is literally California DSA or LA DSA, I shouldn't say California. They ran away from her.
Really?
The whole liberal establishment is, I use the word ghosting because I couldn't think of the word I really needed, but they're you know, minimizing who she is, and who she is a big deal, and I'll tell you why. Last time she ran, she got 60,000 votes. When you're in a race with 15 people, if you get half of that, boom, you win, or you're one of the contenders. So a lot of the liberals are afraid that maybe one conservative will win and that she'll win, and they're afraid that because she's a transgender person, she might not be able to beat the conservative.
Yeah.
So they're all backing, or many of them are backing, a woman who was my assembly person, Laura Friedman. Now, Laura Friedman, she's really, really good on one thing, which is the environment. So it's true, she's good on the environment, and it's for real. But She her whole career was financed by the charter school people.
Oh,
I mean, she could like go and be elected to the Knesset in Israel. She's so, you know, anti-Palestinian and anti-ceasefire. So you can't call her a progressive. You can say she's okay if you want. If you want to just concentrate on the one issue she's great on, the environment. But if you want a real progressive in Congress, there's one person who's that, and it's maybe a girl. And you're not going to have to convince maybe a girl of things like, you know, Medicare for all. Maybe a girl is a working class person.
Oh, yeah.
She is, for real, a working class person. You don't convince her to go, you know, to raise the minimum wage. She convinces you. That's the difference. You know, a lot of these so-called liberals, you've got to talk them into it and cudgel them and say, come on, and this will be good. You know, 80% of the country is for it. You'll be fine. Don't be so scared. That's one kind of progressive. And then the other kind is like maybe a girl where she'll beat the shit out of you if you're not for Medicare for All.
I like that attitude. Well, I guess we'll see what happens there. My friends in Howie's district are like the Los Feliz area, right?
Well, that's one neighborhood. It's Hollywood, it's Burbank,
okay.
Glendale, uh-huh. Atwater, Silver Lake. It's quite a big area of Northeast LA.
Gotcha.
I live in Los Feliz, so thank you for acknowledging my neighborhood. But my neighborhood is one of the very smallest
yes.
of the,
gotcha.
Burbank is much bigger.
Oh, huge.
And by the way, the mayor of Burbank endorsed maybe a girl.
Really? Oh, good.
And Glendale is much bigger. And that's where my DMV was, in Glendale. And even though Glendale is a Democratic area, I couldn't see it today at the DMV of all these people like trying to sneak to the front of the line and stuff like that. I mean, that's a very Republican thing to do.
Yes. No, you need to make an appointment. But I guess
even if you have an appointment, there's like a 2-hour wait for the people who have appointments.
Oh, my God. That sucks.
It's horrible.
One of the things I don't miss about L.A. So, all right. So, Howie Klein. Now, one other thing. Your ballot to vote in the primary in California for the Senate and for Congress is not the only ballot you're filling out right now. because those who don't know, we always get new people joining us from time to time. And so Howie and I go back many, many years back to my days, music radio in LA. Howie was been in the music business. And when we met, you were president of Reprise Records. So,
and you know, what's really funny right this second, do you hear a buzzing on my phone?
No.
Okay. Someone's trying to call me on the phone. And so my screen lit up. And the person who's trying to call me is Danny Goldberg.
I
don't know if you know Danny,
of
right?
Of course, right. Used to manage
Nirvana.
So
Danny was the chairman of Warner Brothers.
Right?
And you're just saying that I was the president of Reprise. Danny appointed me to that job.
Oh, wow.
Danny was the man. Well, he did a lot of things before that, but one of them was that he was the manager of Nirvana.
Right. Yes.
Something that I'm sure a lot of people can relate to.
Yep.
And as well as the manager of Ricky Lee Jones.
And Bonnie Raitt. And
Nix. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he has a long and storied career, and I didn't pick up the phone because we were talking, but
well,
I'll call
you.
Him back in 8 minutes.
Tell Danny I say hi. But anyway, you posted something online that usually, so you are part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You get to vote on the nominees to who's going to be inducted. Now, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has become something of a joke because it's not rock and roll. But let me just say this.
No. It's become a joke because I'm no longer on the nominating committee. So the nominating committee is this very, very small group of people, and we would get together once a year, and me and this guy, Danny Fields, former manager of the Ramones, we would like block all these like crappy bands that people and artists that people wanted to get into the Hall of Fame. Danny and I would just filibuster until they would go away. And Danny and I are both gone from that now, so we're not on that. So when you say I vote, I'm one of like thousands of people that vote.
Gotcha.
Anyone who's ever been in the music industry is allowed to vote if you want.
Oh.
Because the nominating committee is now completely sold out, they are not thinking about rock and roll anymore.
No.
I mean, some of the artists that I listed on, I don't know if you're referring to my tweet,
yes.
are good artists. They're definitely good.
Sure.
I mean, Mary J. Blige, I love her.
She's great.
And I love her music.
But she's not rock and roll.
But I don't call that rock and roll.
No. Nor is Mariah Carey. Or Cher.
Mariah Carey, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't say I love her. I don't love her.
No, nor do I. Cher is not rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Call it the music hall.
Cher was one of my artists, and I knew Cher,
right?
and even worked with her a little tiny bit until I couldn't stand it anymore. But Cher sold millions and millions and millions of records,
right.
and was important in a lot of people's lives. But that doesn't mean she's rock and roll.
No,
She's a pop star.
Yes. Kool & the Gang. Kool & the Gang is nominated this year. They're not rock and roll. I'm sorry.
You know, God forbid you say anything bad about any of these artists, and you their fans come after you and like a ton of bricks, and they start calling you names and stuff. And, I was trying to make the point that they could be really great artists and could be really important in people's lives and not be
for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
It could be for some other, the Pop Hall of Fame or the, you know, the Grammy Hall of Fame.
Gotcha.
This is one of those too. But, you know, rock and roll is rock and roll. And then even when you get like a rock and roll band in there, like Foreigner.
No, I'm
just
sorry.
Bad.
I mean,
they're rock and roll, but they're bad.
Thank you. I used to call that their corporate rock. That's because I used to have to play them on the radio. It's like, oh, Foreigner, Styx, Journey. There's a whole group of them. It's like, no.
They're all in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or going in.
Yeah, so that's sad. So, but you wrote.
Those are the kinds of bands that Danny and I kept out for year after year after year. We would never allow that kind of crap to get into the Hall of Fame. And literally, as soon as we left, the two of us left at the same time, and as soon as that happened, the whole thing went to shit.
Oh, that's too bad. So you said that you had a hard time voting for seven of them. So that's what it is? You're supposed to vote for seven out of this long list?
Right. Well, I haven't really turned in my ballot yet, but I found two that I kind of feel are. I mean, there's no one I'm excited about.
No, I'm looking at the list now.
I found two that I'm okay with. And then a third, I'm thinking about a third one maybe, but I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm thinking maybe not even to vote this year.
Wow.
And I've never, ever had trouble getting seven. In fact, I've always had trouble
narrowing
going
it
down from
right.
Eight or nine or 10 to just seven.
So here's the list.
I've always had more people that I wanted to vote for. And now I can't, I don't know if I may not even vote at all.
Okay.
Because I don't think necessarily anybody really, really worthy, but there are some that are okay.
Right, there's some that are okay. So here's the list. Mary J. Blige, Mariah Carey, Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Eric B. and Rakim, and I'm embarrassed, I don't know who they are. Foreigner.
They had a great song. They had like one amazing song. You should look it up. It was so good. I can't remember it now, but they had one song I used to love to play.
Was it rock
not
and roll?
Not rock and roll, but
no.
Great.
Gotcha. Foreigner, Peter Frampton. I'm not a fan, but my God, in the 70s,
either.
You couldn't get away from
I just can't go there.
No, Jane's Addiction. You vote for Jane's Addiction?
I like them.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Cool and the Gang, no. Lenny Kravitz, I'm sorry. Not Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Oasis. Sinead O'Connor.
I kind of like them, too.
I like Oasis. I like Sinead O'Connor. I don't know that they're worthy of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I don't know
the
Rock and Roll, but I you know, you got to bend sometimes.
Sure.
And if I have to bend, I bend for Sinead.
Gotcha. Ozzy Osbourne.
Not
a fan. Right. Sade. Again, I really like Sade. She's not a rock and roller. And a Tribe Called Quest.
Really, really great songs.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
I would never bad about her.
No,
she's a real artist.
She is. She's a real artist. That's the thing. She is. And A Tribe Called Quest. Again, I'd have a hard time coming up with seven. I like the Dave Matthews Band. I don't know that they're worthy of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I guess as it is today, they are. Because why not?
Right. But it shouldn't be, you know, pick the lesser evil.
Right.
That's not what the voting process would be. You pick someone who you really want to help celebrate their musical career by being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I'm not seeing that.
No.
You know, yeah, okay, Oasis, I'm good with that. Jane's Addiction,
yeah.
I'm okay with
yeah.
that too. I'll probably go with Sinead O'Connor, even though it's a little bit of a stretch, but she's really a great artist and
she
I
is.
Admire her.
And by that token, you can go for Sade as well. Look, they inducted Dolly Parton last year. I love Dolly Parton.
Okay.
She's just not rocker, although she did do the rock and roll album. Really, she does not belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
She said that herself when she got the nomination.
I know. She
said,
tried to turn it down.
For me?
Yeah. She's like, no, I don't belong there. And they
I
said,
know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've told you this story or not about how when they were first trying to cross her over to pop from just pure country, you know, one of the things they did was they brought her on to San Francisco to do interviews. And I interviewed her for the cover of a glossy magazine.
Uh-huh.
And we spent 2 days together. I got to really know her. And I fucking love her.
Oh, I'll bet.
I think great. And here she is crossing over from country, so we talked a lot about that. And I really, really admire her so much, not just her music, but more than that.
Oh,
she's a great woman.
Absolutely.
And I just see it. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, no.
I know.
Wonderful. What the saints of music Hall of Fame.
Yes.
But rock and roll.
Exactly. Well, but
rock and roll means something to me. But I guess, you know, there aren't that many who care anymore.
Are the Ramones in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I think they got in. I think so. Oh,
if
God,
they're
if they
not,
didn't,
it's a travesty.
I mean, I know that they got nominated a few times and didn't get in, but I think eventually they did, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, let me put in a vote for Warren Zevon again, because they leave him out every year. So I'll just say Warren Zevon, please. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com. Of course, check out the Blue America PAC. Donate, support Democratic progressive candidates.
And right. And right now, a lot of the candidates, like Maybe a Girl, for example, is it's the time where they have to get the votes out. So they have to do a lot of door knocking. They have to pay people to do that. They have to literally, it's the get out the vote effort. It's not free. And they really, really need the help now. So even like a $10 or $15 or $20 contribution goes a long way. You know, you and I have talked a lot where we try to tell people how they can donate on the Down with Tyranny page.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to give it an exact location
okay.
right now.
Okay.
I'm going to walk over to my computer.
Okay.
And here I am. And I'm going to pull up a random Down with Tyranny page. So
okay.
here you are on downwithtyranny.com.
Yes.
In the upper right-hand corner.
In fact.
It says about.
About. Okay, hold on. I'm going to pull this up on the screen so people can do it along with me if I can find.
So if you go to about.
Okay.
And all you do is touch it. You don't have to click on it. You just touch it, at least on my computer. And up pops a little screen that says Down with Tyranny.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
America PAC or
yeah.
Donate.
Blue America
Donate
PAC.
Is where to go.
Oh, Donate.
So all you do is click on Donate, and it'll take you.
There it is.
To a page where you can get to the House candidates.
Yep.
The Senate candidates,
oh.
incumbents, or state legislators. Now, we have 20 different pages, but these are the four most popular pages.
Awesome. Now, this makes it so much easier. Okay, so I just clicked on the House, and it comes up with Pramila Jayapal's sister. I forget her first name.
Sushila.
There it is. Sushila Jayapal. So that makes it much easier. So from the downwithtyranny.com, you click on about, you hover over about, there's a pull down, you click on donate, and there's how you do it. House, Senate, incumbents, and state legislators. Awesome. That makes it much easier.
Good. Because every week we talk about it, and I knew I should really say something. And now everyone knows where it is. Let's hope somebody donates.
Most definitely. All right. Howie Klein, I will talk to you next week.
Okay, great.
All right. Thanks so much, and a belated happy birthday again.
Thank you.
Take
also.
The whole month. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Howie Klein, everybody. And with that, we are done for the day. And all that's left is Marcy Wheeler, Empty Wheel Friday tomorrow. So with that, I will bid you farewell, and I'll say thank you for listening. Thank you for donating. Thank you for supporting the work and the great candidates, and peace out.